Well, we will continue our study in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit this morning. You can turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, or you have within your bulletins a yellow handout that has some verses on there for you. So, either way. As we've been going through this series on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we've seen so clearly that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God. We've seen so clearly that He possesses all of the attributes of God. There's a handout that we gave to you a couple weeks ago that kind of went through the Trinity and the three persons of the Trinity and the deity of each one. And there's some 30-page handouts or so in the back that are there that if you like to grab one, it has even more verses on there than what we handed out previously. And there's some copies there just for extra study for you. But we saw clearly that the Holy Spirit is God. We saw a couple weeks ago that the Holy Spirit has regenerated us. It's Him that has made us new creations in Christ, caused us to be born again, changed us from being the old man into the new man through faith in Christ, enabling us to see the gospel message. See that it is the Holy Spirit, as we looked at last week, that He seals us, that He secures our salvation by His power, and He keeps us until the very end. Kept by the power of God, not in our own strength, not in our own good works, not in our own abilities, but it is the Holy Spirit who regenerates us, changes us, and keeps us until the end. This morning we are going to look and study specifically and how it is the Holy Spirit who causes us and works in us to live the Christian life. Let's look at our text, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now we look at this, and the text before us begins by saying, I say then, walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one in whom God tells us, as the Holy Spirit inspires us to this, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Why walk in the Spirit? Why does this matter to us this morning? Why should this passage capture our attention? The answer is because none of us as Christians want to walk in the flesh. None of us as Christians want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is that sinful desire in us that draws us and tempts us away from being satisfied in Christ. And it tempts us towards craving the sins of the world that can never satisfy us. As Christians, you know that the last thing in the world that you want is to fall to the lust of the flesh. I know that you hate when you lose your temper, don't you? Don't you hate when you lose your temper and you say something and you just think, why did I say that? And you look and in the moment you said things that you never should have said, and you go back and you think, if I could just go back, and how would I react differently? The last thing that you want to do is to worry and stress and fail in trusting the promises of God. It's not a place that any of us want to be. None of us like to be in a place of just being stressed and having this burden over us and not giving it over to God, but just worrying about it instead of trusting the promises of God. You don't want to fall into sexual sin. I know you don't. As believers, the Holy Spirit is inside you, and you hate it. You hate it when you find your mind longing for material things of this world rather than God. You look and you start seeing the things that are of the world, and you maybe catch yourself and say, why do I do that? Why do I long for these things that I know will never satisfy me? For those who struggle with substance abuse, I'm certain that when there's clarity of mind, you hate that you've fallen again into sin. I've met with so many people that have struggled with it, and it's just like, why do I do that? I know that it's wrong. I know that I shouldn't do it, and yet you fall into sin, and you hate it. The last thing in the world you want to do is to fall into the lust of the flesh. No Christian enjoys being jealous. We want to rejoice with those that are rejoicing and be thankful and content with what God's given us. We want to be humble and meek. We find no pleasure when we catch ourselves and there's pride that is just boiling out of us. Times where you just look and you think, oh man, that was such a proud statement that I made. Why did I do that? We're convicted when we fall into the sin of gossiping or speaking evil towards others. We want more than anything, husbands, right, to love our wives the way Christ loved the church. I know that the Christian women who are married here want more than anything to be godly and biblical wives, encouraging and blessing your husbands. Those who are single, you want to be godly and waiting and trusting to bring for the Lord to bring to you the perfect person in His perfect timing that He's been preparing for you from the very beginning. I know I was at times, Lord, where is she? Does she exist? And there were times I didn't get married till my early 30s, and I was just thinking, well, maybe, I wonder if I'm just called to be single for the rest of my life. My mom affirmed that over and over again. Maybe you're just not meant to get married. And yet you want to just trust. There's times where I know, those of you guys that are single, you just think, okay, I know that this person's not perfect, but there's not a lot of choices right now. This person's not perfect, but they really like me, or they're attractive, or whatever else. I know that it doesn't seem right, but let's just give it a try. And yet, you know when you come to your senses that you have to wait, because God knows who it's supposed to be. Trust in Him. Depend upon Him. Wait on Him. We want to love our neighbors as ourselves. More than anything, we desire to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Isn't that right? As Christians, that's your desire. You want to please Him. You want to have fruit come out of your life. You want to be one who doesn't fall to the lusts of the flesh. You want to have righteousness in your life, practical righteousness coming forth out of your life on a regular basis. And so you look at the text this morning, and it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the key there. Walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those things that you hate, those things that you want nothing to do with, you won't fulfill those things. If you're walking in the Spirit, you have two choices, to walk in the Spirit or to walk according to the lust of the flesh. Where are you going to be? How do we walk in the Spirit? I look in Romans 7:18, Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I don't find. How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we have fruit come out of our lives? Paul's saying, in my flesh, I have no idea how to do this. Nothing good dwells inside me. And so we look at this, and to begin with, to walk in the Spirit is to depend upon God. Opening ceremonies of the Olympics just took place a couple days ago. If you saw that, it was spectacular. And I love it when the Olympics come on. I'll watch everything. I'll go through. It doesn't matter what the show is, or it doesn't matter what the sport is. I'm watching it. It's exciting. If I have time to watch it, I'm going to watch it. I look, and I think of those gymnasts, and I think, how hard would it be to be in an individual sport like that? Some of you guys know you did those kind of sports, swimming, gymnastics, running, wrestling. Sports like that where you look, and I know for me, if I did that, it would just play over in my head over and over again. Like, how did I not stick that landing? You know, like, I've done it thousands and thousands of times, and I've stuck that landing thousands and thousands of times. And when the medal's at stake, all that I've been working for, I step back or I step forward. And I look and I think, man, what a brutal sport. I know that I use Jonathan Keane as examples in almost every sermon, but he was a big-time wrestler. And it's his wife's birthday today. She's not in here. She's glad because whenever I mention her, she turns bright red. It's awesome. I'll do it next week. But it's her birthday today, so say happy birthday later on. But Jonathan says that there's matches that he replays in his mind over and over again. Why did I do that? I should have done a reversal here. I should have never done that. And you look and you think that way. I like the team sports. I watch those, and it's just neat. I mean, in a team sport, if you mess up, you have other people around you to kind of to fill in. Women's volleyball is just weird to me, though, because you watch them, and it's awesome sport to watch, but you watch it, and like someone will mess up, and they all smile and get together in a little huddle, and then they like go out again. And I think, like, what do you say? Like, she served the ball into the net. Like, if that were me, I would get together and go, you're an Olympic volleyball player. Why do you serve the ball into the net? I mean, like, you watch it, and there's this camaraderie there. I don't think that way. I've coached a lot of you guys that are here, and I coach the soccer team here, and I know there's probably at least a dozen of you out here that I've coached. And when you miss the goal, like, it's 3 feet away from the line, and all you got to do is hit the ball in. And it happens numerous times in a season where they'll just, we call it, just they shank the ball over. And all, you know how some coaches, they're just like, good job, that's right, you'll get it next time. Not me. I look and I'll turn around and I'll walk and I'm just thinking, like, how do you miss it? It's harder to miss it than it is to make it. You just have to let the ball hit you, and it'll go in. Like, how do you kick the ball over the goal from 2 feet away from the goal? That's almost impossible to do. And in my mind, that's what goes through my mind. Like, oh, my grandma could have hit that ball. Usually I don't say it. Sometimes I do. But I'm always thinking it. And you look and you see just this effort as a team to accomplish something. And then you watch the sports where there's two that are playing, whether it be beach volleyball or the rowing team or whatever it is, and you see where it's two people that are working together, and some will mess up at some points, but then they do better on the next one, and there's this working together that occurs. And I think for some people, they get frustrated because, you know, the other person just doesn't have a good game, or you don't have a good game, and it kind of depended on you. But in our Christian walk, how does it take place? When God says, walk in the Spirit, is it like beach volleyball? Where God says, okay, I'll set a good one for you, but it's up to you to spike it. And where God's sitting there going, oh man, it's perfect. What do you want? I don't think so at all. I look and I think of my little boy, Jonathan. And he's just at that point where he is wanting to walk a lot. He can't do it. We encourage him. We set him there like, come here, walk. And he'll maybe take one step, but he's sure to fall after that. And I think of us as being far more in Jonathan's situation than Olympic beach volleyball. You see, for Jonathan to walk, I have to reach down and grab his hands and just encourage him, okay, walk with me, walk. And I help him to walk, and he'll walk, and he'll smile, And we'll say, yay, you know, you're walking. And he's not, but he's trying. And we encourage him, but if I were to let go of him at any point, he'd fall. And for us as Christians, that's where we're at. For us to walk in the Spirit, we have to be dependent upon him. We must depend upon him, even to depend upon him. And I think that's important for us to look at, because it's not man-centered as far as here's all the things that I need to do in order to walk in the Spirit, but to look and say, no, I need to depend upon you to even depend upon you to walk in the Spirit. Seeing ourselves as those that we cannot do it on our own. We will sing a song at the end of our service today where it says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to wander. Before that it says, oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. A fetter is like a shackle that would go around you. And the song is saying, I am totally dependent upon the graces of God to have any goodness come out of my life. God, let your goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee, because our propensity is always to wander. Our flesh will take us away. Our text says for us this morning, as we look at this, it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. There's a battle that's taking place, and we're totally and completely dependent upon God to have anything good come out of our lives. John 15, verse 4 says, abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Critical that we understand that. God, I need to depend upon you. For there to be good that comes out of my life, for there to be fruit that is there, it cannot happen. Apart from you, I can do nothing. There's no good fruit that can come out of my life unless there is an abiding that takes place. Unless I'm in the vine, unless I'm depending upon you, it won't occur. We look at verse 22 of Galatians 5, and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And you look and you think, I want this coming out of my life. I want a love that is there, a love for God, a love for others. I want there to be a genuine love that is pouring forth from my life, a love for my wife or a love for my husband or a love for my kids, regardless of their condition or their actions, a love for those within the church, a love for the lost, but specifically a love for God. I want there to be a love for God in my life. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. We desire joy. Everybody does. We want joy to be in our lives, regardless of our circumstances, to have a joy that is there, that is source in an unchanging God. You may be here this morning saying, I don't have joy right now. Frustrated. Things are difficult. And we look and we see here that this is where God desires for us to be, to have joy overflowing in our lives. The Bible says joy inexpressible and full of glory. We want peace. It's difficult financial times for a lot of people right now. Difficult situations with health, possibly in your life. Things that cause us to worry, and we want to have peace and not to be stressed and not to be worried about these things, but to rest in Him. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
patience or long-suffering. We want that. To wait upon him rather than give it to me and give it to me now. Just saying, I'm content. I'm satisfied in you, God, and your timing to give me patience. Give me patience with others. Kindness that comes forward out of our lives to where we do say, good job. You tried hard to score that goal. Next time you'll get it. I want that to be there. It is not there yet at this particular point. Goodness that's there, faithfulness that's there, gentleness, self-control. We want these things as far as coming forth out of our lives, but the only way that that's going to happen is if we depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us in the everyday decisions of our life. Praying for wisdom and listening to him speak to us as we read through the scriptures that he's inspired. We show that we're walking in the Spirit by the fact that we humbly approach God every day as we make decisions, coming to him in prayer. As you look at the handout there, I wrote down some verses there for you, dealing with some of the prayers of Paul. And you see within these prayers that he's depending upon the Holy Spirit to have fruit in his own life, and he's depending upon the Holy Spirit for there to be fruit in the lives of the congregations that he's ministering to. He's praying. Look at some of the text here. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As the prayer goes forward for joy and for peace and for hope, the answer is, God, it's dependent upon you. What would happen if we prayed like that? I want to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I want fruit to come forward out of my life. I'm dependent upon you. We wake up and say, God, give me joy. Cause joy to be overflowing in my life. Give me a peace that I'm resting in you. I cannot produce these things on my own. I'm dependent upon you. I can't muster up joy. It's impossible for me. I can't muster up peace. I'm worried. I'm stressed. These things are overwhelming to me. God, I am dependent upon you to give me that joy. I'm dependent upon you to give me that peace. And it tells us here, it's in the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. You know when circumstances are bad and you have a peace about it? It's God working in you. It's the Holy Spirit that is doing that. He is to be accredited with this peace that he gives you, this joy that he gives you in adverse circumstances. You may be here this morning and say, I'm just happy in him. I don't know if you're into Facebook or not, but there's a lot of people at the church that are into Facebook. And if you join, then I'll have more friends. And it's good upon... No, I'm just kidding. But you look and parents, it's a great way to just know what's going on with your kids. If you don't know, you can come look at my site. I can tell you all about what they're doing on a regular basis. But I'm encouraged, just even as I go through. It tells you like what they're doing right now. And I was looking, Sarah Yarchever, where are you? You're here someplace in the back. I was looking at her site the other day, or just it kind of updates you on what she's doing. And it just said, Sarah Yarchever is finding her joy in him. What an awesome thing to say. Finding her joy in him. And I looked, and it was reiterated from so many of the college kids and kids in the youth ministry as far as, I'm happy in Christ. Over and over again, you look, and that should be the natural outpouring of our lives. I'm just happy. I have joy. But when that takes place, it is not because, man, you just got your act together. It's that the Holy Spirit is giving you joy. The Holy Spirit is giving you a peace that passes understanding. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's the prayer.
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That's the Holy Spirit that he's talking about, that you might know it. His prayer is that you would know the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in you, the exceeding power of God, that you might have understanding, that you might have wisdom. These are the things that we pray for. God, give me wisdom on a daily basis. How do I make decisions? Give me wisdom in making decisions. And God says, walk in the Spirit. Be a Christian that is just dependent upon him. God, give me wisdom. What do I do here? In this job situation, what do I do? In disciplining my kids, what do I do in this situation? How do I get this organized in my life? God, give me wisdom. And it's the Holy Spirit who is there to mold us and change us and conform us and is there as our comforter and is there as our helper. And so we walk in the Spirit in fellowship with him. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The prayer of the apostle is that the Holy Spirit would strengthen you with might in the inner man. That flesh which is so weak, that flesh which is so prone to wander, to prone to leave the God that you love. It's a prayer, Holy Spirit, give me strength and might through your Holy Spirit. Give it to me. Walking in the Spirit is a dependence upon God in every area of your life. This is the difference between being man-centered versus being God-centered. Man-centered would tell you guys, leave this place, you can do it, psych yourselves up, you're able to do it, muster these things up, read a good book, here's what you need to do, good luck, go for it. No, you can't. You'll fall. You're prone to wander. God-centered living is, God, help me to do it. I can't make promises on my own. I can't do anything in my own strength. I depend upon you. I want to walk in the Spirit, dependent upon you, that I might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because if not, I'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll go towards those things on a regular basis unless I'm dependent upon you. Philippians 1:8, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve of the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The prayer goes forward, help us to have love. Love for God, love for others. Make it so that love will abound more and more with knowledge and with discernment. Help me to go for those things that are excellent. When I have a choice to watch that on TV or to spend time with my family or in God's Word, help me to be able to choose. I don't want to take in the junk. I don't want to take in these things that are going to be permanently fixed in my mind that I can't get out of my mind. Help me to feed on the things of God rather than the things of the world. And it's a prayer that goes forward, because when it comes that time and there's a temptation that's before you, in your flesh, you're naturally going to go towards that temptation. And it's walking in the Spirit and say, God, give me the ability to say no, to long for the banquet table of the glories of God rather than the rubbish that is there here on earth. God, I'm dependent upon you daily to do that. It's a dependence upon God. Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will
in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit just all-encompassing in that prayer? He's saying, I'm praying for this, the enabling to do these things. That's what I'm praying for. Now may our God and Father Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and then may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May the Holy Spirit be the one that sanctifies you, changes you, molds you, and conforms you into the image of Christ completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Who is it that called you? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who called you. He's the one that made you who were blind able to see, and He's faithful, and He'll also do it. And so walk in the Spirit, depend upon Him. And the last aspect that we can look at this morning as far as walking in the Spirit is trusting in the promises of God. When it tells us to walk in the Spirit that you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's being somebody who depends upon the promises of God. Trust in the promises of God. It's these things that come into your mind. You've been that person who has spent time in God's Word. I hear people say sometimes, well, I was praying and I told God this, and then He said this, and then God said this, and then I said this, and then God replied with saying this, and then I replied by saying this, and I got mad about it, but then He said this, and there's this long conversation that they'll go on as far as their conversation with God. And I frequently think, really? He held that whole conversation with you. Seems weird. I don't know that that's the most trustworthy source. Or you've heard someone say, you know, God told me that we ought to do this. Well, who are you to argue with that? I mean, I can't say, like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I guess argue with God. I mean, you said that God told you. Therefore, I must say, okay. But I don't, because I look and I think that the authority that is given is in God's Word. It's here. It's in the pages of Scripture. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to us, and it doesn't mean that we can't hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. But I think a lot of the times people attribute their thoughts. I had a thought. Therefore, it's God. It must be God. I had a thought. And I don't think that's a safe way of making decisions. It's not a safe way as far as having wisdom. The safe way is to go and say, God, would you speak to me from your Word? I want to go to your Word. I know that every word is perfect here. There's no errors in the Bible whatsoever. I can go through and look, and Holy Spirit, you can speak to me, and you can teach me, and you can give me all wisdom and knowledge and discernment as I go to your Word and look and just find food for my soul and wisdom from God, the very words of God. They're authoritative to me. To look at them, it's a promise of God. And when God says something, it is yes and amen, and it is done. It's faithful. He is faithful to His Word. So to walk in the Spirit isn't to have random conversations where we just attribute our thoughts to God. But we look and say, does this thought that has been placed upon my heart, that is there with my heart, is it consistent with the Scripture that is there? And you cannot know if it's consistent with the Scripture that is there unless you are feeding your soul with God's Word. To walk in the Spirit is to be someone who loves God's Word and reads it. And then you trust in the promises of God. Walking in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. God tells us if we say that we have no sin, we lie and the truth isn't in us. But as we go about our daily lives and you don't want to fall one more time to pornography, and you don't want to fall one more time in a situation where you're saying, why did I say that about that person? Why am I gossiping like that? I hate that. And you don't want to fall to materialism. I encourage you to feed on the promises of God. Look at them. Have them be those things which you commit to memory. I just wrote down, I copied some of the promises of God that might be beneficial to you, but I try to keep it on 2 pages. So I ran out of space, but there, it could go on and on and on. Let's look at just a couple of them here this morning. Walking in the Spirit means saying and listening to God where He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In those times in your life where you're sitting there going, why is this happening to me? I wanted so badly for it to turn out this way, but it hasn't turned out that way. I want things to be different. How, God, what do I do? And then God puts this upon your heart. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's a promise to the child of God. His grace, it's sufficient. It's enough for you. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Stressed about losing a job or your financial situation or the debt that's there, and God says, just come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind and to the unthankful and to the evil. We're dealing with people that are difficult, people that have said terrible things about us or have tried to cause conflict or dissensions with us, and we look, how do we respond? God, give me wisdom. And God says, love your enemies, do good to them, even lend to them, but don't ever expect it to come back. It's the heart that I would have you have towards these people. It's walking in the Spirit. When you're feeling like, you know, my life is not going the way that it should go, I fail all the time. Am I secure in Him? We read passages like Romans 5:9, much more than now, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're saved from the wrath, and it's because of the blood, it's because of Christ, it's because of what He has done. And we trust in the promises of God. When doubts come our way and we're finding ourselves getting into a frenzy, the peace of God comes upon us when we read passages like that, or when we read passages like Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What a thing it is to believe in a sovereign God. To look and say, circumstances are this way, but God's so good. And He promises me that He's going to work all things together for good. And I don't know how it's going to take place, but He's faithful and He'll do it. I know that. That's walking in the Spirit. That's not being one of the sheep that's being skittish and freaked out by everything that's occurring around him, but looking and saying, no, I trust Him. I trust God in the circumstances here. I trust Him. And you can go through the rest of the promises there. You go through and you look and you see there are promises that are practical for us on a daily basis. Trusting in the promises of God. Dependent upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. Reading God's Word and taking it in, being still and knowing that he's God, listening to him, looking at the things of the world and saying, I don't want that stuff. I want to feed on his glories. I want to take in of that. And so you're here this morning and you say, I hate the sin that's in my life. The habitual sin that's there. And as you look at the passage there in Galatians, it's saying those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The word practice there means it's a continual lifestyle. It's there all the time. It doesn't mean that you don't fall to these sins at times, but it's a lifestyle. The word that's there is such that it's saying it's continual. It occurs continually. And God's saying, if you're continually in this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It shows that there is no Holy Spirit that is inside you, molding you and conforming you into his image. But if there is sorrow for sin, you do not fit into that category. If there's a desire for you this morning to say, no, I want to follow him. I want to please him. He is the Lord of my life. I want to submit to his lordship. I want to be dependent upon him, and I want to trust in his promises. That's what I want. Know that is a great place to be, because you know that there is a battle that's taking place between the flesh and the spirit, and they're contrary to one another. That occurs. But if your heart is saying, God, enable me in these things. Holy Spirit, you are the enabler, and I'm totally dependent upon you. Help me walk. Hold my hands. Guide me. Encourage me. Enable me. Dependent upon you. That's what it is to walk in the Spirit. And you'll see that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's continual, and it's daily, it's hourly, dependent upon him. What a great place to be. And it's the Holy Spirit who is there as our enabler. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we read texts like this, and it makes us so thankful for you. Thankful that you're a God who can tune our hearts to seeing thy grace, as we will sing in a moment. You can make our hearts sing praises to you. You can bind our wandering hearts to thee. We ask that you do that in each one of us. We're so thankful for your grace. We're so thankful for the cross. We're so thankful that our sins were placed upon you as you died on the cross, and that your righteousness was placed upon us, and that you've given us the Holy Spirit as our helper, as our comforter, as our enabler. And Holy Spirit, we just depend upon you this day to walk with you. Pray that as a result, there would be much fruit that comes forward out of our lives. You're faithful. You can do it. And we depend upon you as such. May you be exalted through the praises of your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.